We learned last week one of the privileges of being a child of God is that you can cast all your anxieties at His feet. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what we got to do. We have to do that. Well, we finished up 1 Peter last week. We are now moving on to 2 Peter. Find 2 Peter chapter 1. Dr. MacArthur has given us a great outline on this letter. Know your salvation. Know your scriptures, know your adversary, know your prophecy. It is about knowledge, as we will see today. I'm looking forward to studying this letter. So let's dig right in. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Something we should take note of immediately. Here we have Peter. He's one of the three who were part of God's inner circle. One who partook of the Lord's Supper with the Lord Jesus himself. A witness to miracle after miracle. He saw Jesus put life into a dead body. He saw the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's the one who walked with God, one who walked on the water with Jesus. I would say Peter had a lot to brag about. But that's not the heart of Peter anymore. Instead, he introduces himself as Simon Peter. This is the name that Jesus gave him. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You will now be called Cephas," which is translated Peter and in the Greek means stone. It was at that point that God began transforming the man who was known as Simon. Peter became a solid rock in the days of the early church. And as we have learned, we learned that in the book of Acts. We saw it in 1 Peter that we just studied. Hey, was that book not a blessing to all of us? I mean, I'm ready to go back and do it again. I feel like we left a lot on the table. I want to go back and do that one again, but I was thoroughly blessed by studying that letter. But by giving Simon a new name, Jesus introduced a change in Peter's character. And we can see that change here in the beginning of this letter, right? Peter introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Peter is now proud of who he is in Christ. He has no problem telling the world, "Hey, I'm a servant. Hey, I'm a slave to Jesus." Peter could say that because he knows that he's not the same person that he used to be. He knows that God has transformed him. Think about this. Peter in his younger day may have introduced himself this way. "Hey, you know me, right? I'm the one that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. You may have heard of me. I walked on water. I'm the one and only Simon Peter," he may have said. But that's not what he did here. Older now. A lot wiser, and as we can see, a lot more humble. He gives God the glory, right? God has taken a once prideful, ambitious young man and turned him into a man of God. God took that pile of clay and molded him. He strengthened him and made him into something that is now usable for the kingdom. God took a broken clay pot and made it a useful vessel. God took what some may have seen as Peter's faults and used him to make him into a great leader and a preacher of the faith. You know, people give Peter a hard time. A lot. You know, they talk about, well, he always putting his foot in his mouth. You know, they talk about his foot-shaped mouth. You know, he reacted before he thought, you know, just doing whatever comes to mind just because he thought it was the right thing to do at the time. Do you remember when he cut off the ear of Malchus, a servant of the high priest of Caiaphas? Think about this. Simon had one sword. He's standing before a cohort of soldiers. That's 300 to 600 men who were well trained for battle. They had the finest weapons available. Peter didn't think about any of that. Who was standing before him did not faze him one bit. These soldiers are suited and armed for battle, and Peter just goes to swinging his blade, not thinking in one moment of the outcome. All Peter had on his mind was what? Protecting the Lord. That's all he thought about. He may have acted before thinking, but what was he thinking about? Protecting the Savior. He was willing to go to battle for the Savior. He's given a hard time for his actions, but for the most part, his heart was right. Just like when he's walking on the water, right? If Peter would have never taken his eyes off the Savior, he would have been able to continue to walk with Jesus. You hear sermons on that all the time about Peter taking his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. My thought, Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Peter was the only one that cried out to Jesus. Or they say, what about when he denied Christ three times? Right? You hear a lot of that. Well, what about this? Peter and John were the only two that followed Christ after the Romans arrested them. The rest of them scattered. Peter was so close. Think about this. Peter was so close to Jesus that when they flogged him and when they tortured him, he was so close that Jesus heard Peter deny him. He was there. He may have failed and denied Christ, but his heart was to be there with his Savior. Peter had his faults. Yes, we all do. We all do. But God took what we would see as faults and used them to mold Peter into a great leader and a preacher of the faith. You know, when Peter was young, he was overconfident, right? When danger was near, he tended to overlook the master's warnings. He rushed ahead when he should have waited. He slept when he should have been praying. He talked when he should have listened. He was courageous but careless. But he loved the Lord. He loved Jesus. And he grew in his faith, right? He matured as a leader. And that's why when Peter writes this letter some 30 to 40 years after the death of Christ, he introduces himself as a servant. He introduces himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He claimed that title before he said he was an apostle. He matured. This is when you know someone's got it, right? This is how you know when someone really understands the gospel. Peter is now humble because he truly understands that it's all about Jesus. Nothing of himself. I'm just a bondservant of Jesus Christ, he said. All that other stuff really doesn't matter. This is who I am. This is how I want to be known. All that stuff doesn't matter. He continues, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so who's Peter writing this letter to, right? Who is he writing it to? Believers, right? To the ones who have obtained the faith, he says. Who have obtained the precious faith, a faith that comes from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Savior. Peter is writing this letter to the ones who has the same faith that he has. Did you catch that? To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. And it comes by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now he may be indicating here that he's not only writing to the scattered Jewish believers, but he's writing to Gentile believers too. But he makes a point to say that everyone has received the same kind of faith as the believing Jews. So who received this, who wrote that, is really not the point that he's making here. What he wants everyone to know, there's one faith. And that one faith is in and by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One faith. We are all saved by the grace of God. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, male, female, there's no race, okay? God sees no matter of person, he says. God's love, God's grace, God's salvation is available to all, no matter who you are. Listen, there are only two categories of people, saved and not saved. That's it. There are the ones who have obtained the faith and the ones who have rejected the faith. Ones who are clothed in the righteousness of God and the ones who will try to stand on their own good works. That's it. And we know what the word says about our good works, right? Nothing but filthy rags. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one salvation, there's only one faith. We are all of the same faith, received by grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Notice he calls it a precious faith. I know I get amens on this, you know, because the faith that comes from God becomes so precious once you have attained it, right? Because on this side of salvation, we understand that the precious faith we have received was a gift by God. He gave it to us. That's what makes it so precious. It's a gift. We now understand that it was by God's sovereign choice that we received that gift. That makes it so precious if you ponder that thought. God gave you that gift. That's why he says it's a precious faith. Now, in his first letter that we studied, we saw how Peter emphasized the grace of God, right? He hit that again and again. And he says, now that we partake in God's grace, he challenges us, now that we understand what grace is, he challenges us to live it out in there. He says, you know, now that we have accepted the grace of God, we are called to be holy. We are to be set apart, right? We learned that we're supposed to submit not only to God, but to earthly authorities, to each other. We are to be humble. We are to be united, and we are to love, all for the sake of the gospel. We are to be good stewards of God's grace. We should flee from sin and not take advantage of God's love and forgiveness. And that's why Peter said in his first letter, now that you have a living hope in your heart, be like Christ. Be like Christ. Because you know what you know, be like Christ. So grace in his first letter. In this letter, his second letter to the church, he puts the emphasis on the knowledge of God. All right, we saw that in the outline. Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the word know or knowledge is used at least 13 times in this letter. 13 times. And the word that Peter uses does not just mean an intellectual understanding of some truth, right? The knowledge of God is just more than just recognizing there's a God. It's much more than, yeah, I know there's a God. You know, it's more than that. The Greek word epignosis means to know well, to become thoroughly acquainted with, to thoroughly know, to know accurately, it says. So our knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord is more than just know of. John 17:3 says, this is life eternal, that you may know, it's the same word right there, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's much more than just knowing God and knowing that he sent someone. It's more than that. When we study God's word, we do it to get to know him, to have a deeper knowledge of who he is. And if we know him, then we can be like him. If we know Jesus, then we will know what Jesus will do. That's a great goal, right? We want to know, what would Jesus do? So to become more and more like Christ every day, so that we want to become more and more like Christ every day, so that we will have a Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like reaction when crisis hits. And the only way to do that is to study his word, so that we will know the truths that God has chosen to tell us about himself. Amen? This is what we call progressive sanctification. We are continually becoming more like Christ, to grow in the word. That's the doctrine of sanctification. Remember what Adrian Rogers said, if you're growing, you're a tree. If you're not, you're a post. Get that in your head. Just remember that all the time, all right? Look at this verse one more time. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Hey, listen, the bottom line. The only way that grace and peace is multiplied, the only way to multiply these blessings is to grow in your knowledge of God. The more I know about God, the more I'm able to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. The more I know about God, the more I see His grace and love. You know, the more I know about God, the more I'm able to cast my anxieties upon Him. And so you see, the blessings just snowball from there. It just goes, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why we study the Word. That's why we study the words of God, to grow in our knowledge of Him. And let me just say, we should never, ever get tired of studying His Word. You know, what I'm saying is, for the ones that truly know Him, that this story never grows old, right? I know we sing about telling the old story of His grace and love. Well, the story may be old, but it never gets old. Amen? Hey, it never got old to Peter. Watch this. Skip down. We're going to skip a few verses. We're going to come back. Skip down to verse 12. Look at this. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Look, I'm going to tell you about them again and again. Always, I'm going to remind you. And look, we're going to come back and look at these qualities, but watch this. And though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, as long as I am alive, as long as I'm in this body, I will stir you up by the way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, God told him, hey, you're soon going to die. And since he knows that, Peter knows that, what does he say? I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. It never got old to Peter. And I studied this text, it just like, it penetrated my heart to think about Peter here, you know. He walked with God, he talked with God, corrected by God, molded by God, shaped into one of the greatest men of faith by God, loved by God, and what's his heart's desire? His last words, what does he want to do? That he would make every effort to equip the saints with the words of God so that when he departs, when he leaves, when he's no longer with them, that they will be able to recall what he taught them. Wow. In other words, Peter's saying, I'm going to remind you again and again, as long as I have breath, I'm going to tell you over and over again about the things of God as long as I'm able. I intend to remind you of these qualities. And listen, he says, even though you are established in the truth, even though you already know it, I think it right that I remind you of these truths, he said. In today's vernacular, I don't have a problem preaching to the choir, and I will do it till the day I die. Story never got old for Peter.